Acts chapter 14 in your Bible, Acts 14. And I'm going to bring just the closing thoughts tonight for our missions conference this year. Of course, Brother Runyon would have done that had he been here. And all these veterans have had an evening slot, and then the deputation man a morning slot. So I'm just going to say a few words tonight. Won't be much of a preaching time, but just talk to us a little bit as we wrap this thing up. But first, a special treat. We have these four guys are going to come now and sing for us tonight. Amen. So that'll be a blessing. So y'all come on and sing for us, and we'll enjoy that. Four or five guys are coming, so that'll be a blessing, and we'll enjoy that. And tonight, glad to have these guys sing.
John Washu, die now
That was worth coming. That was worth hearing. I almost want to clap. Man, that's a blessing. Outstanding. Oh, somebody get that recorded on video. Anybody got that? A phone? That's good. Oh, man, that was super. Thank you, gentlemen. I didn't realize they'd put that together. So that was outstanding. I appreciate it so very, very much. And in any language, what a friend we have in Jesus. Amen. That's great. All right. Heavenly Father, thank you tonight for these days, these moments, these opportunities. It's a blessing. We don't want to overlook the blessing of all that you've allowed us to enjoy and experience these days. Truly the highlight of our calendar year. Now help me tonight, Lord, to be a blessing in just a few thoughts to wrap this thing up. And I'll thank you in Jesus' name. And amen. Look at the end of chapter 14, beginning of verse 26. We'll pick up the reading there. The Bible says, "And thence sailed to Antioch." You missionary families, if the church went into a collective seizure when I said turn in your Bible to the book of Acts, that's because we were in the book of Acts for about 9.5 years on Wednesday night. And so we finally got out of it. And whenever somebody announces their text in Acts, the people break out in hives, amen. So, but here we go. "And thence sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. And when they were come and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. And there they abode long time with the disciples." Now, you remember, this passage is the foundation for the concept of furlough. What Brother Lawman and Brother Sterling, who was here, of course, Brother Wesson, and Brother, in some ways, Brother Nibby, because his family was in Romania. But what these men are doing in their time in the States right now has biblical basis. This matter of furlough. Paul and Barnabas had been sent out by the church in Antioch. They had traveled between about 1,000 and 1,500 miles and maybe 2 to 2.5 years. And verse 27 says that they sailed back to Antioch, the place where the journey began. And they gathered the church together. That's the church that had sent them in chapter 13. And they gave testimony about the eternal impressions that had been made on their trip. You say, "Well, Pastor, I don't see any mention of eternal impressions in verse 27. That's where they gathered the church together. But look closely at the words, folks. "And when they had gathered the church together," now watch this, "they rehearsed all that God had done with them." God had done with them. Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived, said in Ecclesiastes 3:14, "I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever." And so these men, Paul and Barnabas, they gave testimony as to what God had done, and whatever God does is forever or eternal. So Paul and Barnabas, they returned and they testified to the church about eternal impressions. Now, those eternal impressions began on the island of Cyprus in the cities of Salamis and Paphos. Salamis was on the east end of the island, and Salamis was on the west end of the island of Cyprus. And then they boarded a boat and they went north across the Mediterranean Sea to Pamphylia and the city of Perga. And then it was on to Pisidia and the city of Antioch, a different Antioch than the Antioch church that had sent them. That was Antioch in Syria. This was Antioch in Pisidia. And then the next stop was Iconium. And then on to Lystra and Derbe. And it was outside of Derbe where Paul was stoned. Remember that? And he was left for dead. They thought he was actually got caught up in the third heaven, we believe, and saw things unlawful to utter. And then he got back up and he went back in the city, and then in the city of Derbe there. And at that point, they began their journey home, passing back through Lystra, Iconium, Antioch, Perga, and then they added the city of Attalia before boarding a ship and returning to Antioch in Syria. So it wasn't as long a journey as number two and number three were. It was shorter in time and shorter in distance, but it was a very effective journey, and they went to these cities, and everywhere they went, all along the way, God was doing things through these men and their companions. And again, whatever God does is forever an eternal impression. The church prayed, and the missionaries preached, and the Holy Ghost empowered. And when you have a praying church and a preaching missionary and the power of the Holy Ghost, you can make an eternal impression. And that's exactly what they did. Elymas withstood them. John Mark left them. The Jews envied them. And one of them, Paul, was stoned, but eternal impressions were still made. You kind of get the idea that you don't make eternal impressions without a little bit of adversity. You face adversity when you make eternal impressions. Sergius Paulus got saved. He was the only convert whose name we know, but some Jews were saved and many Gentiles believed and were saved as well. Each one of those, Sergius Paulus, those few Jews and those many Gentiles, each one of them an eternal impression. So in the end, the missionaries and the church worked together to accomplish the will of God, and God did something on that journey that was eternal. It was just a short while later that Paul and Barnabas, at the end of chapter 15, split up. Now, they split up over a dispute. You remember that? And they went their separate ways to check on those churches, but check where they went. Barnabas went to Cyprus, and Paul went to Cilicia, which is the other part of the journey they were on. And both of them checked on churches to check on those eternal impressions that were made on that first missionary journey. I'm just blessed by the theme and the title of this missions conference, Eternal Impressions, because it is so accurate, friend. This is what the church and the missionary partner together to do, to see eternal impressions made for the glory of God in distant lands. Now, I want to talk to our missionary friends who've been with us for these days. And like I said, the Sterlings had to slip out early, and that's fine. But I want to talk to the six families that are remaining here tonight. And I just want to say thank you for yielding to the Lord. I really do. I don't like to compare conferences. It's so easy. It'd be so easy to right now say this is the best conference ever. But we said that last year when Ed Johnson was here. And, you know, you don't do well when you start comparing conferences or measuring the effectiveness of meetings. You know, you can never know all that God does in hearts in the immediate. Man, it takes time. But I will say that this one has been special. It really has been. And I mean, it has been. The service is just, it's just been special. And I believe one of the reasons it's been special is because of the word relationship. Relationship. Because, church, I don't know if we thought about it or not, but we have a relationship with six of the seven missionary families that are here. And then I have a relationship with that seventh one that maybe the church doesn't have. But I think about Brother Jared, who grew up here fighting a sinus infection and a sore throat, couldn't talk on tonight because he doesn't feel. Had been to the doctor today to get medicine to have Brother Jared at this conference. And he was a late add-on. He just called me at the last, said, "Can we come?" And I said, "Yes, come on down." And I'm glad they've been here. But to have one of our own who sat in these pews as a little boy, dating back to the old building, then moving into this building, and now surrendered to go to the mission field, it's one of the highest honors that God bestows upon a church to call one of their own out to a foreign field. And so it's been special for that reason. Brother Lawman, Brother Sterling, Brother Wesson, and Brother Nibby, we have had a good many years as a supporting church with all of you. And I'm thankful for you, and I'm thankful for your work. And Brian, even though it was more your dad and mom, you were a part of that. And your dad and mom were always talking about how the boys were involved in the work. And so we appreciate all that you men have done on the field as our missionary representatives. Brother Vong, you're a product of Brother Esposito's ministry, you and your wife both. How precious to us to see. And I remember, I've told the folks here that, you know, I don't think folks had an ugly spirit about it, but when Brother Joe started out there, he just reached a bunch of kids. Been to Cambodian Baptist Church, it's just a bunch of kids. But all those kids grew up. And they're building a how many million dollar facility out there now? What is that new building costing? You don't know? It cost a few dollars, amen, especially in California. And it's guys like this guy who was saved at age 12 who have been paying for that. Huh? It's amazing. So Brother Vong, the relationship with you because of Brother Esposito, and then Brother Jonathan, Brother Beatles, you know, I taught you in school. I've known your family for years. Your dad is a good friend of mine. I saw him back in September. And a good friend of mine. I taught your brother and now your younger brother. Your family's been special to me. So I think relationship plays into what has made this conference maybe just special in its own unique and different way. And, you know, next year's conference in church, I want to tell you that I am in the process of taking definitive steps to move this thing to another month in the year. Serious. I'm dead serious. You know, and it took how many days of, you know, minus 19 degree weather and 38 feet of snow to finally, you know, get it in this thick head that from really the middle of the summer, you know, the end of the summer, oh, we don't have anything going on. Huh. It's like, you know, from January to July, it's just leave, you know, turn your shower on at the house. Make sure you got a shower to take a shower and get back to the church for the next big event. Let's move this. And, you know, but what I thought about is these missionaries all had to drive through snow on Saturday. Except Brother Vong. He had enough sense to get in on Friday. Amen. But they all drove through snow and bad weather. So I'm really thinking about moving it. But I was talking about the specialness of this meeting. And I trust that God will give us meetings in the future that, you know, as we approach the end of it, we'll say, man, this is the best ever. And that's why it's not wise to compare. But I do know that relationship has played a lot into this. It's just rich to remember when the Lawmans and the Wessons and the Sterlings and the Nibbies came through and they were just all fresh-faced and raising their support. Now you come back and you see what God has done. It's just remarkable. And in verse number 27, I never noticed this before, but in verse 27, the two elements necessary for true joy in the life of a missionary or any child of God are mentioned. I don't know if you see it there or not. It's where it says all that God had done with them and how He had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. Do you see what's mentioned in that verse? God and others. God and others. That's the Gentiles. Now, and friend, those are the two elements that are necessary for true joy in life. We've heard it all through our life. Jesus first, others second, yourself last. And in your presentations, you missionaries, in your presentations and your messages, you know what there's been very little of, church? There's been very little of I, my, mine, me, our. There has been much mention of God. God. What God has allowed us to do. What God has allowed us to accomplish. What God has done through us. What God has helped us to do. I have really enjoyed that. And there's been mention of God, and there's been mention of others. And by others, I mean the people with whom you've been working on the field, you missionary families, or the people with whom you're going to work. And you're excited about it. And this is the sequence of joy in the Christian life. It's Jesus, others, and you. That's how it happens. And you've testified to that. Now, for those of you who are reporting on your work and have been on the field already, it's obvious that your hearts have been given to the people you live among. It's obvious. So Brother Lawman preached a Bible message on Sunday morning. And so Tuesday night, if you weren't here, I asked him just to talk about his field. And there was a light in his eye. And I told him, I said, Brother Kendall, thank you. He said, all right, listen, I love to talk about China. And I don't think it's because there's a great wall there or the temple of heaven. I believe it's because there's people there that he's given his heart to. And the same with these other missionary families who've spoken this week. You know, it must have been exciting for Paul and Barnabas to share with the church in Antioch all that God had done. And we can tell from your presentations and your challenges, it has been exciting for you to tell all that God has done on your field. And we rejoice with you. And I tell you what, you couldn't make a supporting church more happy than you've made us this week. We realize where your hearts are, and even though we may not fully understand it, we are glad that you love serving where you live. It's not, and I say that because it's not always easy for those of us who stay here. You know, we go to the airport, I'm choked up, I'm trying to embrace my son for as long as I can, my wife is crying, I'm trying to embrace Ashley for as long, and the girls are just as excited as can be. We're going home. We're going. I just want to say, hush. You're not going home. You're leaving. But that's how it is. And that's how your kids are. And that's how the Sterling's kids and your kids. That's how you boys were. The mission field becomes your home. That presentation on Sunday night from Brother Wesson and those faces. And I knew, I was sitting out here, but I knew back there that I knew the emotion when I stood up. It was showing. You can't look at those faces of those people whom you love without experiencing, feeling that deep love and deep emotion. And I tell you, it's been a blessing to see that this is not just a job for you. It's a calling. It's a calling. And it's your mission in life. And Brother Beatles and Brother Nibby and Brother Vong, as God gives you life and breath and health and helps you raise your money, and you get out there and you get the 10 and the 12 and the 14 years behind you like these men have, you'll come back and you'll be the same way about your people on the field where you're going. And it just, you know, I'm reminded about that great missionary statesman. After dying at the early age of 44, they said he died kneeling in a prayer position. At the age of 44, David Livingstone. And his body was taken to England and buried at Westminster Abbey. But before his body was sent home, the Africans cut his heart out, saying, "You can have his body, but his heart belongs to Africa." And I believe that's where Mrs. Crabtree, Tricia Crabtree, got that burden and got that the impression to write that song, "Bury My Heart on the Mission Field, Lord. Bury My Heart." It's just obvious. It's so obvious. And I just want to say publicly to all of you, thank you for yielding to the Lord and following His call, and more than a job, a ministry, a mission, a calling. And with a heart of love, we thank you for your labor for God and others, the labor that God has used to make an eternal impression. I think we can say that, right, church? We're thankful. Eternal impression. Let me talk to the church just for a minute. We'll be done. And we've had this unbelievable opportunity, unusual opportunities last 4 days to see these eternal impressions that have already been made by these families who've been on the field. as well as the ones made by Brother Nibby's family when he was there with his dad and mom. And we need to, by faith, see the ones that will be made by the Beatles as well, and by Brother Nibby, and by the Vongs. I mean, these folks sat 14, 16, 18 years ago where these folks are now. And by faith, we need to see that this is not a wasted investment. When we give to missions, you know, it takes time. 3 years before somebody was saved. 3 years. Think about that. I guess I don't remember what your prayer letters said back in those days. But I bet sometimes you sat down with a little bit of a fear and trembling to write a prayer letter. But 3 years. But folks, look now and see the Dominican and the work there. And you know, no, Brother Sterling doesn't have the numbers. You know, Brother Sterling has a ministry like Brother Oswardy does. You know, once in a while I get a call from a church that supports Brother Oswardy, and I've always got his back. Well, are you a little concerned about the fact that they're not reaching? I said, show me a church in Russia that is booming. Show me one. I'm talking about Baptist doctrine, right doctrine. Show me one. And you're not going to have the numbers that they have in some other places. But every one of those souls that the Sterlings have reached in the Siberian area of Russia is an eternal impression. And you know, our mission money is not wasted money. And our relationship with these missionaries is a deep and wonderful thing. And you know, this passage to me, it reads like Paul and Barnabas were excited to return and get with the church people. The Bible says that they gathered the church together. Hey, come on, let's get together. So they had obviously, you know, worked together in Antioch before they went on the journey. And now it was like returning. You know what it was? It was like returning to family. Now, Antioch was their sending church. We're not Brother Longman's sending church. We're not Brother Wesson's sending church, but or Brother Sterling's or Nibby's, but we have been with these families in a small way for a long time. And when they come back here, it really is. It's almost like an extended member of Faith Baptist Church coming home. It really is. Spurgeon asked these questions of his church. Listen carefully. He said, as a family, do we help missions as we ought? The heathen are perishing. Are we clear of their blood? There's a couple of sobering questions. You know, I was thinking this afternoon, the common saying today is that money doesn't go very far. Money doesn't go very far these days. Boy, you start talking about what was a gallon of gas worth when you were young or when a loaf of bread. Money doesn't go very far these days. Well, I'll tell you something. It goes a long ways when you give it to missions. It goes on forever and ever and ever because it makes an eternal impression when it is given to these modern day Paul and Barnabases who take it and invest it on a field full of prospects. Now, church, listen. Y'all been through this. We've been through this together many, many times. I've never been heavy-handed on this matter of pressure, pressure, pressure. Look, if I could pressure you into a figure, an amount to put in the offering plate for Faith Promise Missions, you wouldn't enjoy it. And I'm not sure you would do it consistently. But I've never taken that approach, you know that. You talk to God. You ask God what He'd have you do about Faith Promise Missions this year. J.G. Morrison was the World Missions Department administrative leader for the Nazarene churches during the days of the Great Depression. Now, how would you like to be in that position as the World Missions administrative leader for the kind of like a denomination of Nazarene churches? You're kind of the one responsible for really trying to, you know, encourage Nazarene churches to give. And it's the Great Depression. And so he traveled the country, going from Nazarene church to Nazarene church to Nazarene church, and he asked this question over and over again. Can't you do just a little bit more? Can't you do just a little bit more? Sometimes we come to missions conference and, you know, we think that, you know, we've got to, if we're going to increase our missions giving, we've got to increase it by these large increments. I've got to go from, you know, 1250 to 25, or I've got to double from 25 to 50, or I've got to double from, you know, 30 to 60. And I got to really pump, you know, so if I'm praying almost like, boy, can I go that? But sometimes, folks, what's needed is just a little bit more. $5? Your switch card? What can you switch out? You know, the truth of the matter is, you know, we finished the year in the positive in our missions giving last year, which it's been that way, and I'm very thankful. But the balance of what was left over last year is not enough to take home Brother Vong and Brother Beatles and Brother Nibby and have sufficient if we keep sending out the same amount that we've been sending out if all the missionaries stay on the field. So we've got it. Can't you do just a little bit more? Maybe somebody who's not been involved could start. Maybe somebody who's been involved for a long time could do $4, $5, $6. Maybe somebody's been blessed beyond what you ever thought in the year 2013. And you think, you know, I'm going to do this year for Faith Promise Missions. I am not trying to heavy hand you. I am not trying to pressure you into a decision. I'm just trying to say eternal impressions can be made by people who do a little bit more. A little bit more. A little bit more on all of our parts takes on these missionary guys. And think about the internal impressions that will be made. Think about it. Pray about it. Ask God what you should do. Let me say one last thing and I'll be done tonight to our church. There's been one phrase that has been mentioned several times over these last few days that haunts me. And pretty much it was made during the presentations or during their talk about the country where they serve. And here's the little three-word phrase that's haunted me. No church there. No church there. This city of so many people, no church there. This town of so many people, no church there. This region of so many people, no church there. That haunts me. What was that city you mentioned on Sunday? 20 million people? Chongqing? 20 million people. No church there. And every one of them has said that about some area of their country where they serve. Every one of them. Sitting in this room tonight are some young people who have already surrendered their lives to take the gospel to a foreign land. And, you know, a meeting like this one, missionary brethren, a meeting like this one and your presentation and your pictures, you know what it does? It's just like throwing gasoline on the fire in some of these young people's hearts. I stopped by and talked to a couple of them. Did that stir you up? Oh, man. I appreciate it. There may be others who need to answer the call. Eternal impressions begin with us responding to the impression made on our own hearts by 1 Kings 19, the still, small voice. That's how it started with Brother Lawman. It was just a little bit of an impression on his heart. An eternal impression by the finger of the Spirit of God. And now look at that. A little finger impression on the heart of Joshua Wesson some years ago. And we saw Sunday night now what that has become. A little impression on the heart of Brother Sturr. A little impression on the heart of Brian Nibby's dad some years ago about Romania. Folks, I'm talking about the ministry his dad has in Romania has been a leading ministry in the country of Romania. And that's how it starts. That little small voice, still small voice, that just makes a slight indentation in our hearts. And we need, if you are hearing that call, answer it with a willing heart to obey the Lord. So listen, what it boils down to. By giving or by going, every one of us can make an eternal impression. By giving or by going, everybody in this church can make an eternal impression. I want to finish tonight by this. I'd like for our missionary families to come and just kneel here at the altar for a moment, if you would. Make your way down here. You don't have to bring your children unless you want to. You're welcome to if you want to. But I want to ask them to come and kneel down here at the altar at the front. And then I'd like to ask, just let them get in place. And I'd like to ask as many of the other folks as want to come and just gather around them, spread out here across the front of the altar and kneel behind them. Just as many folks as want to come, you can get up out of your seat and come now. And I'd like to finish tonight by asking special prayer for these families as they go to continue on their way and attempt to serve the Lord. And let's ask God's blessing on them, journeying mercies, and help them with their money, and thank God for their ministry, not only on the field, but among us this week. And what a blessing it's been to have them here. And I'm going to ask Brother Tom Thomason, if you would, to lead us out tonight in prayer publicly, and then I'll close after you're finished, and we'll pray for these folks. Yes. While our heads are bowed and eyes are closed here at the altar, before I pray, church family, let me just ask you, please, to talk to the Lord just for a moment and seek His mind and give your own self to Him first. And then, you know, let Him work in your heart, whether it be by giving or going. All of us can make an eternal impression in this area of seeing people saved and churches started for the glory of God. Take a moment and do that. God, our Father, it's been a rich, rich time these days. I do pray that You would please bless these families as they leave Sterling's, as they've already gone. Again, Lord, for journeying mercies. And Lord, open doors to churches. If some of these furloughing men need new churches, I pray that You'll open doors for them. And Lord, for these new missionaries on deputation starting to raise their support in the process of doing so, God, I pray that You'll give them meetings, and Lord, meetings in places where people will be serious about the possibility of supporting them. And God, that You'll help churches, if nothing else, to help bring them on their way with a love offering to help meet their needs. And then, Lord, for those that have been on the field and have a work waiting for them to return, I pray that You'll bless that work and prosper it in their absence. And Lord, may it be strengthened even while they're here in the States. And God, as they return, I pray that You'll give them fresh power and fresh blessing and fresh fruit and fresh victory. And God, may Your Spirit rest upon them in each and every way, in each one of their lives. And then, Lord, for these on deputation, I pray that You'll prepare for them a people whose hearts You will touch, and God, whose hearts will be drawn to Christ and be saved. And God, we pray for those cities where it was said, no church there. We pray for those towns and those regions of these countries, no church there, no church there. And God, again, in Your infinite wisdom and mercy, reach down amongst our number here and put Your hand upon a prepared servant to leave home if need be or whatever. And Lord, take your word to a people who are prepared to hear it. God, continue to call men and women to serve you from Faith Baptist. And Lord, help us, those of us who are going to stay here, to do our part in serving you, to keep this church in such a way, Lord, with your blessing on it, so that we can continue to support these missionaries and take on new ones. And Lord, help us to be seeking your mind and obeying your will about our giving this year. And God, I pray that it will be done in complete and full obedience to as you lead us. Thank you for these days. Thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, in whose blood we are all brothers and sisters tonight. And God, the kindred spirit that we sense with these folks, even though we don't see them very often, we realize it's because of Jesus and his great sacrifice, the power of his death, his burial, and his resurrection that changes lives. Lord, we're glad for that great day someday when we're up in all in eternity together and we can fellowship with each other, but Lord, more than anything, worship you and as we ought to, for it's because of you and your honor, your glory, Lord, that we serve you tonight. Thank you for these days. Bless, I pray, and we'll ask it all in the only name possible, the name of Jesus Christ, and amen. Amen. You can return to your seats. Naomi, would you play that chorus as they return, please? Oh, how beautiful, just the chorus. Let me ask the missionary families to stay down here at the front, if you don't mind. And church, let's go ahead and stand together. And tell what we're going to do. We're going to sing the song through one time. And then if you'd like to come and shake hands with these folks and wish them well, you have some time to do that tonight before they leave. So let's sing it one more time. Oh, how beautiful are the feet of Jesus. Let's sing it. Oh, how beautiful are the feet that bore the field of the ones who chose to yield to his will. Oh, how beautiful. And to the whole world show the Savior's light. Oh, how beautiful are the feet fit for the feet. Amen. Come by and say goodbye to them. God bless you.